We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, again, looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're in the Beatitudes. I'm just going to read through them. We'll be looking at verse 5 today, but we'll read the first 12 verses. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, that's Jesus, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Last time we looked at, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Before that we looked at, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now here, again, we see how the words of Jesus fly in the face of the natural man's philosophy of life. Man in his unconverted state, his natural state, will never tell you that in order to get anything or to get anywhere in life, to get anything good out of life, you need to be meek. And that word meek is simply just means to be gentle. It could also mean quiet, easily imposed on, and submissive. So it means to have a quiet, a gentle nature about a person. So a person who is meek is not one looking for fights. They're not an aggressive person. They're gentle in their spirit. And this would certainly baffle Jesus' Jewish audience who were looking for a Messiah who was going to perhaps take up arms against the Romans who were occupying Israel at the time, and to free Israel from foreign invaders, which had always been a problem throughout their history, and then establish his kingdom by force there. That's what they were expecting. Yet he tells them to be meek, to be gentle, to be submissive. And so if you're looking for a ruler to overthrow somebody, you're not looking for somebody who's meek. People don't recruit leaders for their revolution that are meek and mild. They look for somebody who's aggressive and violent and strong, powerful. And so these Jews were not looking for a gentle Messiah. They were looking for an aggressive, proud, bold political leader. But here was the real Messiah, meek as could be. Blessed are the meek, he says. Jesus is telling us that one of the essential characteristics of a Christian is meekness. And that meekness is a good thing, and it's a blessing to be meek. And the result of that meekness is something great. Again, the last thing the world is going to tell you that you need in order to succeed in this world, in this life, is meekness, gentleness, submissiveness, quietness. They won't tell you that. When was the last time you ever heard anyone say, if you want to make it in life, if you want to get ahead in life, you need to be gentle? I've never heard that. The world will tell you that if you're to be successful, you need to be aggressive, you need to fight your way to the top to get that success. This is the way of the world, this is the way sinful man thinks. So the world will say, fight, be aggressive, win at this game of life, and Jesus says, be meek, and you'll inherit the earth. I did a little search online to find out people's ideas of how to succeed in life. And you'll find everything from don't use tobacco to take care of others and never stop learning, get yourself on a career path, all these things and everything in between. And some of these things are good. They're not bad ideas in and of themselves. But the only problem is that the world's idea of success is off. It's false. It doesn't really amount to a hill of beans, their idea of success. All these ideas involve making it big in life, meaning usually having some good job, having a nice family, being as happy as you could possibly be without any problems at all. You know, the American dream, this is what the world aims for. Again, they're not bad in and of themselves, but to so many people in the world, this is all there is. That's success. But at the end of the day, even, you know, a successful life, even the most successful by the world standards, is completely over the moment you breathe your last breath. And when that happens, you got nothing left, and you leave all that supposed success behind. And all that searching for supposed happiness or success, and that's what it means to be blessed, is to be happy. It's doubtful you will ever find anyone say meekness is the key to happiness or success and a good life. The world says, the better yourself, live a life pursuing your dreams, and you'll make it. Jesus says, if you're meek, you're blessed, you're happy, and you'll inherit the earth. When you search for all the successful or the philosophies about living a successful, happy life, you'll never find anyone to say that you'll inherit the whole earth. That'd be quite a bold paycheck and a bold response, and you wouldn't believe them. They'll tell you you may inherit, you know, a good paycheck, a good health, you know, a good life, earthly life, but no one can promise you the earth. I've never heard anyone make that claim. They can promise you the earth. Jesus says you'll inherit the earth if you are meek. Now, there's a certain order to these Beatitudes here. They're there for a reason. They're not arbitrary. They're not randomly put in there. There's an order to it. First, he says you have to be poor in spirit. And this involves, as we looked at, an emptying of all our pride. It's to come to the realization that in comparison to God, that we are nothing. We have nothing to offer Him. And so this is the first beatitude because it involves an emptying. You have to empty ourselves first, and it's different than the rest, and that involves that emptying rather than some kind of filling as the rest do. This is the first step towards salvation in the life of a sinner, and it's something also as believers we do as we continue to grow in Christ. And the second one was mourning over sin, realizing the severity of our sin in light of a holy God, in light of His goodness, in light of His justice. And there cannot be comfort, there cannot be joy, there cannot be assurance of salvation unless there's first mourning over our sin. This is something essential to conversion and is often something lacking in our gospel presentations, in our evangelism. But it's also essential in the life of a Christian. Again, as we grow, we continue to mourn over our sin. And now Jesus goes into this next saying, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, this beatitude is distinctly different than the first two. And it's that distinction, I think, that makes this beatitude even more difficult than the previous two. The beatitude here of meekness is different than being poor in spirit and different than mourning over your sin, because meekness directly involves other people. It's not just yourself. See, poverty of spirit, mourning over sin, involves self-examination. And it's something that is often done without anyone involved. Usually it's just something between you and God, perhaps in private. You and in your prayer closet before God, seeking to get right with Him. This is just you and God, perhaps. But meekness really has nothing to do with self-examination. Meekness, or the lack thereof in a person's life, is not revealed when we examine ourselves, but when people are examining us. It's pretty easy to admit yourself, or at least somewhat easy to admit to yourself that there's sin in your life, that there's a certain sin, and you confess that to God. But doing that doesn't really involve meekness. But it's another story when someone else brings sin to your life, isn't it? That's far more difficult. That's far more painful. That's far more uncomfortable to bear. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "I am aware, when I'm honest with myself, of the sin and the evil that are within me and that drag me down. And I'm ready to face both these things. But how much more difficult it is to allow other people to say things like that about me. I instinctively resent it. We, all of us, prefer to condemn ourselves than to allow somebody else to condemn us. I say of myself that I am a sinner, but instinctively, I do not like anyone else to say I am a sinner." I think that's true. It's in all of us, in all of our natures, to really resent anyone telling us that we've done anything wrong or there's sin in our life. So how you react to someone's accusations, whether they be true or not, and whether they be in love or not, that determines how meek you are. And so the previous two Beatitudes are ourselves, looking at ourselves. Not that difficult to do, but this one involves other people looking at me. What exactly is meekness, aside from just the general definition? Meekness is not just some kind of personality trait. Personality is something you can be born with, or perhaps to an extent you're a product of circumstances in your life. Some people are born right off the bat easygoing. You can see some children are completely laid back from the moment they're born. Other children, babies, are, you know, very needy or something like that. I see the difference between my son and like my nephew Christian. Christian was laid back from the day he was born. His sister was the opposite. My son's the opposite. That's their personality. They're just born that way. Meekness is not something you're just born with. It's not just a personality. Some people may have a strong personality, but this does not mean that they can't be meek also. Some people may be bold and meek at the same time. Someone might be shy and timid, yet not be meek. So it's not a matter of just personality. It's something deeper than that. I think you could say that meekness is a behavior that comes out of the character of a person. And many people don't possess hardly any meekness at all until they're converted. And as we grow in Christ, it's something that we grow in meekness, to become more like Him. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. So it is a distinct characteristic of the believer. Now, certainly some unbelievers may possess some level of meekness, yet it can only be really something superficial and of no real lasting consequence, because the unbeliever has never encountered the first two Beatitudes. They've never been poor in spirit. They've never mourned over their sin. They've never been converted. So their meekness is just a shallow one, and probably a self-centered kind of meekness, gentleness. They're not meek because God saved them and gave them a new heart. They're not meek because they're trying to follow Jesus. They're meek for their own reasons, and when they want to be meek, perhaps. Being meek does not mean somebody, if you're meek, doesn't mean that you're a pushover. Doesn't mean that whenever there's a problem, you don't speak up and you just, you know, don't want to cause trouble because you're so meek. You don't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, you know, what are we going to do about this? I'm just so meek. And no, meekness does not mean cowardice. It doesn't mean we don't boldly stand up for the truth. You can be bold and meek at the same time. You've heard that expression. It's true. Meekness is not weakness. Just because we're supposed to be meek and gentle does not mean that we're weak. Meekness does not involve us just throwing up our hands in the air, throwing in the towel and say, well, I can't do this, and then we throw a pity party for ourselves and we mope around because we're just so meek. That's not what it looks like. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. So we're to be strong, but it's not our own strength, of course. This is the Lord's. And what is meekness look like? If it's not a personality trait, if it's not weakness, what does it actually look like? Well, I think a person who's truly meek, in the biblical sense, they have a proper balance between this boldness, the strength in the Lord, and humility at the same time. Boldness in that they know God intimately enough to know His holiness and His standards of truth, who He is, His justice, His love, all His attributes, His grace. They know Him enough, and that gives Him great strength and courage, yet at the same time they maintain about themselves a gentle spirit, that is, meekness. And this gentle spirit, this meekness, is seen, as I mentioned earlier, really only when we are involved with other people. If you want to see how meek a person is, see how they react around someone when something is done to them that is harmful. How do you react when someone points out sin in you? And whether someone does it in a loving way or an unloving way is irrelevant. How do you react if someone points out a sin or even a supposed sin in your life? And even if they are wrong about it, how do you act? Do you get defensive? A truly meek person is not defensive. I think the polar opposite of meekness is defensiveness. Meek people acknowledge who they really are, not just when they see their own sin themselves, but when other people see sin in them, even if the accusation is false. Another dictionary definition of meekness is this. It means enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That's a tough one. It's one thing to sit there silent and not say anything amidst maybe false accusations or slander or even physical harm. It's another thing to let that happen without resentment, but that's real meekness. John Wesley said, "The person who bears and suffers evil with meekness and silence is the sum of a Christian man." So meekness is a distinguishing characteristic of a Christian, because it was a distinguishing characteristic of Christ. Now Christ is the ultimate example of meekness. And we can look at many examples of meek people throughout the scriptures, from Moses, who the Bible said was the meekest man on the earth, to King David, to the prophets, the Apostle Paul, and others. We see the meekness in prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, as they were harassed, reviled, attacked, yet they continue to be meek. The Apostle Paul the same way. But the ultimate example of meekness is our Lord Himself. The very man giving this sermon, saying that blessed if we are, if we are meek, He was the ultimate example. Because if there ever was a man falsely accused, it was Jesus. If there ever was a man who was reviled, it was Jesus. And the only man who ever lived truly a sinless and innocent life was Jesus. Yet He was treated as a criminal and treated as the worst of sinners. And how did He handle this treatment? How did Christ handle this abuse, unjust abuse? Well, Isaiah 53:7 says He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. Jesus was the greatest victim of injustice the world has ever known in the history of the world. Yet through all of this mistreatment and abuse of not just His crucifixion, but His entire 3 years of ministry, all the opposition He faced, He was the perfect example of meekness throughout it all. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly." When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten. Jesus was the only man who ever walked the earth that never did one thing wrong ever. And what did people do to this perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb They spit in his face, they crowned him with thorns, they whipped him to a bloody pulp, and they hung him on a tree to die. And in the midst of all of this, he said nothing. He didn't get defensive, he didn't point the finger at them, he didn't revile them back, he didn't get angry, he wasn't bitter, he didn't call down legions of angels to wipe them all out. He only said this, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." That is the definition of meekness.
Amen.
Jesus was a man, the God-man, who practiced what he preached. He preached this sermon and certainly lived it out to a T. He was the perfect definition and the perfect example of what it means to be a meek person. So how can we see what Jesus went through? See how meek he was in the most horrendous of circumstances, circumstances we will never even imagine ourselves being in, and we never will be in that situation. He was the recipient of the greatest injustice the world has ever known. How can we look at that, what he went through, and not be meek ourselves? Why should I get angry? Why should I get defensive at accusations or attacks when there is a possibility that those accusations could be true? Because I have the capability of committing the most horrific sins. Jesus never had that. Jesus' accusations were completely false. Totally undeserved. I deserve far worse than any slander or revilement or even physical beatings or death. I deserve far worse. And Jesus didn't deserve any of it, not even the slightest bit. I think the question we need to ask ourselves is not so much, am I a meek person in general? While it is essential for Christians to possess meekness, and all believers must do this to an extent, to some extent at least, the real question we have to ask ourselves is this, I think. Where is meekness lacking in my life? Not, oh yes, I'm a meek person, I've got it all figured out. Where is it lacking? Because nobody has meekness completely covered in their life. And you will see this when you deal with other people. How do you react to people that bother you? How do you react to accusations, whether they be false or true? Are you defensive? If you're defensive, you're not meek. How do you react to people that annoy you? What is your attitude toward people who disagree with you? Are you aggressive? Are you looking for arguments? That is not meekness. That is not how Christ acted, and that is not how his followers should act either. How do you react when you are reviled, when people say abusive things to you? You revile back. Do you seek revenge on people? Are you spiteful towards people that might mistreat you? Are you looking to get back at people? A meek person does not do these things. A meek person says, "Vengeance is the Lord's, not mine. I'll let him handle it." Now, what is the result of this? What is the reward of being meek? Well, first of all, you're blessed, you're happy. He says, "For they shall inherit the earth." Now, I believe that saying, "they shall inherit the earth," has something of a twofold meaning to it. One for the present and one for the future. The present tense, I think, in one sense, what he means is that the blessed, the meek are blessed in that they already inherit the earth. They have the earth now. In other words, they are completely satisfied. If you have the whole earth, I believe this is something of a figurative expression, what else is there to have? You have everything. Meekness brings satisfaction. Matthew Henry said, "The meek enjoy almost a perpetual Sabbath." That's what it means to be meek. You have essentially a never-ending Sabbath rest. There is this never-ending peace and, in a sense, relaxation and rest from the world when you are a meek person. There's no ungodly aggression. There's no anger. There's no striving, fighting in a meek person. They are at rest. They have inherited the earth. There's no need to fight for popularity. There's no need to fight for fame or worldly pleasures and things. They're completely satisfied in Christ. as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, as having nothing yet possessing all things. So inheriting the earth does not mean you have all its stuff, all its possessions. You may have no possessions, but if you're meek and you're really a child of God, you possess all things, you inherit the earth. The meek person is totally satisfied in Christ. Now, I think there's also a futuristic meaning to this. You see, the meek in this life are considered the lowest of people. They're the last. And this is a bad thing to the world. But what did Jesus say? He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So it's the meek that will inherit the earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it's only the ones who are meek who will inherit it, God's children. And it's these meek followers of Christ who the world tramples on that will one day judge the world. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? So these meek followers of Christ, who may be at the bottom of the totem pole in this life, will one day be judging those who were at the top in this life. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Romans 8 tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. That is for those who are his children, the meek. Now, meekness is a very difficult thing, and so far I think this is the most difficult saying Jesus has said that we've looked at so far, because it goes so contrary to our nature, and this involves not just ourselves, like I said before, it involves other people. They're the ones that bring out the meekness in us, or the lack thereof. You've heard the expression, perhaps, something like this: Christians are like tea. You don't know what they're like till you dip them in hot water. I think that's true of meekness. You don't know how meek you are until somebody really gets under your skin and somebody attacks you. Then your meekness, your level of meekness, is revealed. It's a very difficult thing. But I believe meekness becomes easier when you really understand, not just acknowledge, but really understand two things, and it may be a little difficult. Firstly, you need to understand just how rotten and sinful you really are. I'm not pointing the finger at you, I'm pointing at myself too. When we understand how rotten and sinful we really are, and secondly, when we understand really just how holy and good God is. See, when we get angry, when we revile back, when we revile, when we are mad that we're mistreated or taken advantage of, we get angry because we think that we don't deserve it. We have this way of thinking that anything bad that happens to me, I don't deserve it. Slander and persecution, even physical beatings and death, are the least that we deserve. And here's something we don't like to think about, but this is true nonetheless. We deserve eternal torment under the wrath of God in hell forever because we've sinned against him. So anything short of that is mercy. You have to understand that. So here is the key to obtaining meekness. It's found in that verse in 1 Peter 2:23 that we read earlier. Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But what did Jesus do? You've heard the expression, what would Jesus do? More importantly, what did Jesus actually do? It says, he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. While he was being reviled, while he was suffering, he continued to entrust himself to him who judges justly. So entrust yourself to God, the God who will ultimately judge everyone justly. The key to meekness is essentially just trusting God that God is who he said he is. that God will punish evildoers if they don't repent, and he will reward those who are faithful to him and give them the crown of life if they remain faithful until death, and even if that death comes unjustly at the hands of evil men. And this should not only give us this sense of relief that we can trust God, that even though all this injustice may be happening to us, he will take care of it one day. It should also drive us to tears for those who are attacking us and reviling us, because they one day will stand before God and be judged. Know that the judge of all the earth will do right. That we can guarantee. One day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for everything we've ever said and done. And everyone, Jesus said, will have to give an account for every false word they said, for every foolish thing they said. We're going to have to give an account for every evil plan they devised against us, and justice will be served to those who refuse to repent and trust in Jesus alone. Let's keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When he was reviled, reviled not. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to be meek. Lord, teach us to be gentle, or to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves, as you call us to be. Lord, I pray that when we are dipped into that hot water, Lord, of persecution, perhaps of revilement, Lord, false accusations, anything, Lord, may we know that we are blessed, and help us to react in total meekness. Lord, I pray we would be honest with ourselves, show us where we are lacking in meekness, and may we repent of any lack of this meekness, this gentleness in our lives. Lord, this is so difficult to do, but Lord, you can deliver us from our sin, our lack of meekness. Lord, I pray that you would make that a reality in our lives this week. Lord, may we pass any tests, Lord, of aggression towards us, revilement towards us, false accusations towards us. And may we just be overflowing with meekness. Lord, may we react in meekness also when brothers or sisters see sin in our lives and confront us. Lord, may we be honest and open and loving, Lord, not defensive. Pray you would make this a reality for all of us. We thank you for your Son who lived a life of total meekness. Lord, the perfect example for all of us. Lord, may we be like him. We pray this in his name. Amen.